In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Joseph led the Holy Family into a three-year exile of refuge in Egypt, a land of deserts, a time apart, in safety from the violent efforts of Herod to destroy the newly born king. That becomes a model for the Christian life, for the monks, and in our lives in the world as well. The idea of going into the desert, into a quiet place of refuge for a time, is understood as being an absolutely necessary part of our lives. We have daily prayer, a time when we make ourselves accessible to God, although that probably isn't the way we think of prayer. We may think of it as a duty, a responsibility, a discipline, an opportunity to ask God. But really what it is placing ourselves in the presence of God in order to be transformed by Him, separating ourselves from the powers of the world, including powers within ourselves. In ourselves, there is a kind of Herod, a kind of ruler that would like to take over and run our life the way Herod wanted to run the kingdom of God, take the power of the new king for himself. He was jealous of the rule of God in the world. We have the same kind of conflict within ourselves. That conflict has always been in the world. The conflict between God's gentle rule of the dominion that He has in the world of creation, because He is the author of creation. He has created the world. His dominion is the dominion, the rulership, the guidance of the one whose life is already poured into the world, in the sense that there would be no life in the world at all if it weren't for the presence of God's life in His energies in the world. The world is good, and all of the wonderful and beautiful things it is, because of God's dominion, because of His natural rulership. He is the one who is the true ruler of the world. And we, human beings, who are meant to be His agents, His representatives in the world, and to exercise His guidance, His protection of the garden that the world is meant to be, rebel against Him and try to set up our own authority. We try to set up our own kingdom. And so there is a conflict between men like Herod, who want power and want a kingdom of their own in the midst of the world of God's creation, where He is the true king and dominion is His. There is a conflict between that kind of Herod power and the new king that is born into the world to reestablish God's dominion in the world and share it with all of us, so that we can share God's divine guidance and rule within our own lives and in the world itself, so that we can live God's life in the world and make a place of peace in the world that God has created. From the time that God is born into the world to restore the world, His life is in danger. There is a conflict between this new divine human life born into the world that is our salvation, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the effort by men like Herod and the sense within ourselves that we have, that we want to do the same kind of thing, that kind of little voice of power inside of ourselves, that we want to have the authority, live in the place of God. And so right from the beginning, if Jesus is going to live in the world as an infant, He needs to be protected. And so Joseph and Mary take him far away into a land where he is not in danger from violent men like Herod, into the desert land of Egypt. There is a story about their journey that I've just read in the prologue of Ohrid. The prologue of Ohrid is a wonderful collection of the lives of saints and stories and homilies. It was brought together in its present form by St. Nikolai of Ohrid, who died in 1956. But it wasn't written in 1956. The things that are in those books, in those volumes, have been passed down from the beginning of the Christian life. Stories of saints and stories like this one about the passage of the Holy Family from Jerusalem into the land of Egypt. It's told that on the way, as Mary was riding the donkey and Joseph was leading and Jesus was held close to his mother's breast, suddenly there jumped out into the road a band of robbers, and the leader of the robbers, seeing that the most precious thing that this group of travelers seemed to have was what was being held in the arms of the woman who was on the donkey, lifted the cover to see what was being held and guarded there. And he saw the face of Jesus. And Dismas, because that was his name, Dismas said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, "If God came himself in the flesh, he could not be more beautiful than this child." And Dismas forbade the members of his band to do any violence to these travelers. And Mary said to Dismas, "Know this, this child that you have protected from death on this day will one day repay your act." 33 years later, when Jesus hung upon the cross, to his right side there was a thief. And according to this Christian story, the name of that thief was Dismas, the same man whose band of robbers had waylaid the Holy Family on their trek into Egypt. Dismas cried out, "This man is innocent and has done nothing." Jesus repaid Dismas, protected him from death. "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Refuge, a time of sanctuary, is something that all of us need daily in our lives, especially when they become terrifically busy, as they are at this time of the year. The period of time always from me, from Christmas until well after Theophany, Epiphany, it's just a blur. It just seems so busy. Now it seems to start from Thanksgiving Day all the way through to the beginning of the year. It's just a blur of rush and busyness. The most important things oftentimes are set aside. Well, those most important things need to be set aside in a special place of refuge for ourselves. Our icon corner, or our icon shelf on a wall, where we say our prayers, that should be our place of refuge. Like the cave that Joseph and Mary and Jesus stayed in, where he is not in danger, that you can still see today, about 9 miles south of the city of Cairo in Egypt, there is a cave where they stayed. And nearby in a village, there is the spring that Mary went to. In that village is a sycamore tree, where it's said that Mary liked to sit before she went back to the cave, alone with the incarnate Son of God, her child Jesus, in the presence of God. That's the kind of thing that we need if we are going to change we are going to be what we are meant to be. You know that prologue of opera that has a strange sounding title to us. Why is it called a prologue? An introduction. It's been called an introduction to wisdom. It's a collection of the lives of saints. But the reason it's called a prologue is that the lives of the saints that are there are only a small number of the lives of all of those who are saints, because all Christians, after all, are meant to be saints. Holy with God's own holiness. Holy because we are able to be united to God through Christ, who is fully God and fully as human as we are. Only His humanity is a perfect humanity. And we can share in His life, in His perfect humanity. And our humanity can share in His divinity. And all of those who do that, all of those who truly become Christians, are saints. We live as members of the communion of saints. And that prologue is only the introduction of a few of the lives of those who have lived this new life in Christ. What is the rest of the story? What is the rest of the book of wisdom? It said that when we become Christians, our names are written in the book of life. Nikolai is referring to that book of life, into which the names of all Christians have been written. And these are just a few of the names written in that book of life. And so this is a prologue. Christian wisdom is found in the lives of Christians. That's wisdom. The living of the lives that are actually lived by real human beings. That's wisdom. That's the revelation. The revelation, the wisdom, is not a set of doctrines. It's not a set of teachings. We have plenty of those. But the content of the faith is seen in the lives of Christians. The communion of saints, living and departed. And Nikolai's collection is a small collection to introduce us to that great book of wisdom into which our name has been written. Our life is lived as a passage in that book, sharing the life in Christ. Now, if we're going to live those lives, we have got to have periodic times of prayer when we make ourselves available to God, where we are not in danger, so that He can change us. When Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, he immediately went into the desert, into a place of refuge. He went into Arabia for 3 years, for time so that within himself he could be shifted around, changed by God, so that his understanding of things could be reorganized, find a new way of settling together into a vision and an understanding of all of the things that he had learned about the prophets and about the law of Moses, because he was a great scholar of what we now call the Old Testament. And when we read St. Paul's letters, we are amazed that he could write these wonderful letters in the middle of a busy life, dealing with difficulties in one Christian community after another. It is because Paul has become able to say these things out of the wisdom of his own life. Had he not had that time of refuge and silence in the desert for 3 years, so that all of the things that he knew and understood could be reworked in the light of Christ, who had revealed himself to St. Paul, we would not have had that apostle. It needed that time in the desert for the man who was Saul to become the man who was Paul. And in our own lives, when we think of the time that we spend in prayer, it's important for us to realize that those times are times of standing in the presence of God. It's not so much that we are doing something. We are going there and making ourselves available to God. But we are making ourselves available to God so that He can change us. We are there to open ourselves to God so that he can remake us and rearrange us within ourselves so that we can be the human beings that God created us to be. It's a different way of understanding what we are doing when we go into our refuge, into our closet of prayer, to make ourselves available to God. And we have to do that regularly. And if we don't, we may not be changed. The idea that God changes us from outside without our participation is simply not realistic. And so at this time of year that is so busy, we need to make a special effort not to let those moments during which God is changing us into what we are meant to be pushed out by the busyness of the season. Otherwise, we might never have the opportunity to live the lives that God intends for us to live. Lives that we can't live unless we are changed by Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.